Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode 220 of CJ Evolution, and made possible by you, the listener and supporter. We continue to grow this great podcast because of you and your support. Thank you so much for sharing it with family and friends, listening yourself. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. We hope you stick around. If you're a long-time listener, welcome back. Special thanks to all those first responders out there, brave men and women, doing a very difficult job in a very difficult environment. It is a very difficult environment. It continues to get more complex and more difficult as the days go by, but you have much support. I don't care what anybody says. You have a ton of support out there, so keep up the fantastic work. I talk about it all the time. I'm so happy to be partnered with Four Sigmatic, a great coffee company. If you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see their link. You can head over there, grab some incredible products, to include their mushroom coffee that I drink every day, and I love it. And you'll get 15% off using the promo code CJEVO. You know, folks, we talk about mentorship and coaching. If you need that in your life right now, whether it's professional or personal, head over to frameofmindcoaching.com and see what Kim Ades and her amazing team can do for you. Kim's been on the show. She was on a couple weeks back, and it was another amazing show with Kim, and she provides some great insight into the way we think, the way we act, and she could also get you back on track personally and professionally. So if you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see a questionnaire and a survey, kind of a self-assessment of yourself, on the CJ Evolution website. So take it and then head over to frameofmindcoaching.com and see what that great team can do for you. You know, folks, you might know or witness that my social media footprint is growing, and that's only made possible by the great team at Arctify. If you're looking for branding, social media help, web design, they can help you. So head over to arctify.com and tell that amazing team that Patrick from CJ Evolution sent you. As you all know, we've had some guests on the show throughout the last year and a half that have been through some crap in their life, some real bad stuff. And my next guest is no exception. He was a member of a cult, a martial arts cult that I never heard of, but he can tell you about it, that's still prevalent in the United States, operating under a different name. But he was a member of this cult for about 7 years, and he managed to pull himself away and get out of that mess and start living a very productive life. And he has some great words for people out there, or you might know people who are kind of heading down the path and maybe associating with some shady people that are really trying to brainwash them and scam them out of money. So I hope you enjoy this next guest. He's a great podcaster. He's a writer. So enjoy, folks. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have Russell Johnson on the show. He's a producer and writer, very involved in podcasts. And I'm going to let him tell you more about it. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Well, Russell, thank you so much for being on the show. I know you're a very busy man. I gave a little bit of a bio to the listener. Can you expand on that if you want?
I have been involved with podcasting and filmmaking, film production in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area since 2013. I am connected socially with most of the networks in entertainment in Minnesota here, and I have a podcast series called Deceived. And Deceived is the true story about my life in a martial arts cult in the Minnesota. And they were also in 10 states across the country. And it tells the story of me becoming a white belt student. And then it goes to, at the end, where 14 people go to prison for tax evasion.
Now, if you could talk a little bit about that cult that you were involved in, Russell. And we were talking a little bit about off the air about it. It's a very, very dangerous cult, or it was. It's not an operation anymore, right?
It is still an operation. Oh, okay. And they have changed the names several times.
Okay.
I am not privy to how they exactly run the organization at this time. I do have questions about how they're running things, because still they still are sharing the stories of Master John C. Kim being able to jump from 11-story building without being harmed, and the supernatural aspects of his life they are still telling the legends of.
Yeah, and they were talking about how they were talking about mind control and how he was able to manipulate, or people that, you know, representative were able to manipulate students. How did that happen? How I mean, there's a level of brainwash. Maybe you can talk about that too. But mind control, Russell? I mean,
well, what happened was when a student would come in and join the school. Mm-hmm. One of the first things that was done is a membership photo would be taken of them. And with that membership photo, that was shared with the other instructors. And there was dossiers kept on the students. They would find out what kind of car they drove, whether married, single, how much money they made. And they would buddy up to them. And this would be all used to manipulate them. And so that was one part of it. You had a team of people that were working to manipulate. And basically it was so they could sign you up to get you to buy higher courses and move into their organization faster. And with that, though, there became rituals and superstitions that if you were told when you were first joining that the number 4 is unlucky, and you couldn't say it out loud, that you had to say 3 plus 1. And they would keep adding these type of rituals. If you were told that from the day you signed up, you would go to another school. Mm-hmm. But instead, the process was done over time. And then with that time, the financial commitment was there. Mm-hmm. So by the time you're starting to figure some of this out, you have a lot of your time, your life, your money invested in this organization. And then they got into the spiritual stories of John C. Kim, the idea that he could run from Minneapolis to Duluth in 45 minutes. And, you know, that's running a human being running at 206 miles per hour. And what I try to do in the podcast series is, how do you take a normal 16-year-old kid and make him believe these things?
Yeah.
And what is the process? You know, so first I, in the first season, I tell the story of how they did it to me, and then how they taught me to do it to other people. And the manipulation was, a lot of people laugh at the things that Chumukwan did because some of them are crazy stupid, but at the same time, these guys had some well-thought-out plans of manipulation involved.
Now, what was the catalyst, Russell? I mean, how did you get to a point? Obviously, you said there was a level of financial commitment and some other things, you know, that they made you believe that was going on. I mean, what was the catalyst? What made you say, all right, I'm leaving, I'm getting out of here?
Well, the longer I was in there, the more what people call a true believer I became. And I became very thick-minded, and at a point where at one time I was injured and I almost died. And this is in episode 8 of my podcast. Mm-hmm. And throughout my training, I was led to believe that John C. Kim could heal anything, including cancer. And when that then happened for me, I started to question the things that was being told. Mm-hmm. And it took 7 years for the time from the time I started to the time I actually met John C. Kim. And when I finally met him, it wasn't what I was expecting. I grew up in like a low-income housing type area, and there were people there that were what you'd consider con people. And I knew when something smelt bad when I first met him. Uh-huh. And there's people that actually believe that he could change his form. He could be any human being. He could be an animal. But when I met him, I noticed that his hair was permed. And so yeah, I have this vision of the greatest martial arts master who ever lived in curlers sitting in a beauty shop somewhere getting his hair permed.
And you're like, oh, wait a minute, man. I mean, what's going on here?
I saw my mom, and I have six sisters, and I all saw the perms, and then I'm in this room with all these instructors, his higher belts, and I'm looking at them, and they all have their hair permed, and he's got a mustache, and I'm looking at them, and they all have mustaches, and this is all like clicking together for me.
Yeah.
And then he told us the story, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was telling the story about living in Korea with tigers in a cave, and we were like all hypnotized, and I started starting to pass out from the stories he was telling, and then I started questioning things that night. But the very next day, I went back to the school, and I told anyone that wasn't there of like how miraculous it was. But in the back of my head, I was shaking my head no.
Yeah.
And it was pretty common among cults for that to happen, because my whole life was invested in that.
Yeah.
And then it took a couple of years, actually a year and a half, before I actually left after that.
Yeah. I'm glad you got out of that. Like you said, I'm sure there was a lot of money that was invested in that, but I'm glad you're out of that. You're doing big things now, Russell. And we talked a little bit, really quick, we talked a little bit about off the air. Do you know how big, there's probably cults all over the place in this country, in the world, right?
Yeah, in 1989, when the news investigation started on Chumukwan, they estimated then it was 3,000 cults in the United States.
Wow.
And I would guess it's probably about 5,000 at this point. And there's a cult for just about every type of group, and a lot of the techniques are the same. And after I left Chumukwan, I went and I got counseling from cult experts, and I actually became part of a group that investigated cults.
Mm-hmm.
And my idea of what a hero has changed through that, because a lot of times when people think heroes, they think firefighters, military, and police officers. But what I found was there was little old grandmothers that missed their loved ones so bad that were stuck in a cult that they were willing to put themselves at risk to see them again.
Mm-hmm.
They went and they protested the groups. They got in the group's face, and when you see this little fragile woman going against these groups, I'm like, yeah, that was the type of hero that I've never been exposed to before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was different, because there were so many different types of religions that I had come in contact with. Scientology, the Branch Davidians. I had met Patricia Ryan. She was the president at that time. It was the Cult Awareness Network, and her father was a congressman who was killed by Jim Jones.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then at the same time, the Church of Scientology was suing the Cult Awareness Network, and they had so many lawsuits against them that they went bankrupt. And then Church of Scientology bought all their assets out of bankruptcy, and now today the Church of Scientology is actually the Cult Awareness Network.
Wow.
Jeez. Yeah. So
now you've been through a lot. How did you keep it together, Russell, with all this stuff that was going through? You devoted so many years of your life, and then there was the post cult, and then you probably had to deal with a bunch of aftermath from that. How did you keep your sanity? How did you keep it all together?
I did seek out counseling from people that could educate me on what was happening to me and how it happened. Because once I left, I was like, okay, this thing happened to me, but what is it and how were they able to do that? So I learned a lot about mind control.
Mm-hmm.
The research into Chumukwan led me into being a private investigator.
Yeah.
So I got good at pulling public records, and so that led into my career. But one of the main things that I found in my life, that when I'm in trouble or I have something that's highly stressful going on, is that I use distraction. So some of the most critical times in my life, you'd find me in a drawing class, in a computer class. And it was more that instead of dwelling on that particular thing that was happening at that time, mm-hmm. that I was actually choosing the direction of my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the things that my mother had taught me, because she would always say, don't dwell on things.
Yeah.
And so being able to actually choose the direction of where I want to be thinking, that was really a key to get through a lot of things.
Yeah. And just so the listener knows, I mean, I know many listeners out there, and Russell, you know this, are interested in martial arts. This isn't – and martial arts schools. This is an indictment – is not an indictment. We're not coming down on martial arts schools. I mean, there's a lot of good – tons of good schools out there. How do you find one? Russell,
absolutely. You know, I have a lot of good friends that are teachers, and you know, the self defense has helped me through my whole life. Mm-hmm. But you know, martial arts parts of it can fit a cult because first you have the master, mm-hmm. and then you have rank and file going down from you know the highest black belt to white belt, and you have a triangle type of authority, type of organization to begin with. So, you know, Chum Kwan was, they were probably most, the premier martial arts cult, the most notorious, but, definitely not the only one. So, you know, one thing when you go into these places is that anyone can open a martial arts school. There's not any qualification. John Graydon, who is a professional martial artist who teaches management in martial arts schools. He said in an interview is that you can get out of prison and you can go up and open a martial arts school. Yeah. So when you go to look for school, first you've got to be a good consumer. You got to find out that are these instructors certified? If they are teaching physical education, have they gone to school for that? Our instructors had no certification for teaching physical fitness. Yeah. And that was one of the ways that I was injured. And is there any consumer complaints on them? And then there's the red flags. If you go into a martial arts school and there's a zealousness to the instructor himself that people are willing to bow down to him. And you know, that's his job to teach you self-defense.
Yeah.
It's not his job for you to worship him.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the thing when you're looking at that. And so you go into a martial arts school and they start to teach mystical thinking that this guy can throw his hand at you and you're supposed to fall back. Do the what they teach, does it go against the laws of physics?
Yeah.
Jumping off an 11-story building. And then if they start to like, oh, we got these secret forms that nobody else has, these are red flags.
Yeah.
And then the people to go on to Google and the internet and start searching out the school. Because if you looked up Chum Kwan, you're going to find thousands of complaints and stories about them.
Yeah.
Being a good consumer.
Yeah.
Is a big part of it. And a lot of what they call McDojos are known out there, fast black belt businesses.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about your podcast, the Deceive Podcast. What's the plans for the podcast in the future, Russell?
Right now, we've released season one. Mm-hmm. And I am working on season two, but it's a very time-consuming and expensive thing to develop. Mm-hmm. We have most of the episodes written. We have to get in the studio recording.
Sure.
I brought in one of the best narrators, I think, in Minnesota. And so the plan is to finish season two. And then I'd like to take it to either feature film or series. And through my connections through film, I have made contacts in Netflix and Hulu.
I was going to say, that seems like a good thing that you plug into like Netflix or Hulu. I think it would be like a natural fit.
Yeah, in the I don't know if you've seen the Karate Kid 38 Years Later.
I have not, no.
So it's on YouTube Red, and so that story is doing pretty well. They had over 5 million.
Wow.
Downloads like the first week.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a want for this type of story. And it's a difficult story to tell, though, because even to this day, there's people that are afraid of them and afraid to talk.
Yeah.
And to get other people to do interviews, and even the people that went to prison and are out now are unwilling to talk about what happened.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'd like to either see it go to feature or a series. And if it goes to feature, I kind of see it as a dark comedy musical with a little bit of animation.
Well, what about a
Quentin Tarantino type of thing?
Well, what about a book, Russell? I mean, I could. I mean, I'm just kind of envisioning a book with this too.
You know, the book I've been working on for a while. It's 70% done. Uh-huh. And I haven't quite finished it yet, just because I kind of feel like the whole story isn't quite done yet. That this part, like what's going to happen right now, is kind of the finishing of that book. And from the book, it starts when I was 16, and in 1980, and it ends in 1995 when John C. Kim and 13 of his instructors are sent to prison. And then in one of the episodes, episode 11, it talks about the death of one of the instructors in Naperville, Illinois, and the instructor's name was John Maddox. And there was a cover-up that night, and I've spoken to John's sisters, and you know, they're interested in really knowing what happened that night. So I'm hoping that through the telling of the story that maybe law enforcement will take another look at what happened the night that John Maddox died.
Mm. That's just, it's very interesting. Now, you do a lot, obviously you do a lot of podcasting, and I do podcasting too. What, kind of switching gears a little bit, what, if you were to give anybody, if somebody came to you, and maybe they have, I'm sure they have, Russell, I mean, what are some suggestions for aspiring podcasters? I mean, what would you tell them? I mean, how do I get started? What would you tell them?
You know, I kind of have the same formula for almost when I do anything. Is first I get involved with the community. Mm-hmm. I surround myself with like-minded people. Mm-hmm. And from that, I meet the people that are talented. And because I find if you want to be successful at something that you really need to be with the people that have the same vision, the same goals as you do. Mm-hmm. And I did well here in film in Minnesota that way. I'm working on 4 different movie projects this month, acting. And it was really from that. And then I'm constantly taking classes.
Yeah.
You know, expanding my knowledge.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that's the only way that a person can really change is by what they learn. And so I guess my advice would be to surround yourself with like-minded people that are goal-driven.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, there's a lot of people that I know that are good people, but they go to work every day, they get up, and they repeat the same day over and over again. And for me, as you know, I'm 54 now, and I realize that life's getting shorter.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have the same day after day.
Yeah, and that's so important. I'm glad you said that because, yeah, I mean, and I venture to guess majority of those people, Russell, are not happy going and doing the same thing every day, you know. But yeah, the point is life is short, and you got to live your life, and you got to do something that you love. And it seems like you're doing what you love right now.
Exactly. You know, I tell you, film has really brought a lot of joy to my life. Being an actor and a filmmaker, I've been able to take these experiences that I've had in my life and put them in the character and pull from that. And then just to be on a set, and you know, someone told me that, you know, a bad day on a movie set is better than the best day at work. And yeah.
Now, people want to reach out to you. People want to find you. Russell, where can they find you?
DeceivePodcast.com.
Okay.
I have a ton of, I have a news and photo section on there. And if they want to read about Joe McQuan, articles, see pictures, I have a lot of research that I have put on there so people can go as far as they want to learn about it.
Well, true podcast. It's a true crime podcast, and I'm going to definitely, I was checking it out a little bit. I'm going to check out more of it. I encourage all the listeners to go and listen to the podcast. And really, really quick, I forgot to ask you, Russell, we got connected because, and you mentioned it earlier, if you could talk just a couple more minutes about your private investigator experience in Colorado. You were up in Vail for 20-something years, correct?
That is correct. I had my own firm, and it was called Research Specialists and Investigators. Mm-hmm. And what had happened was I started getting very good at researching public records. And I moved out of Minnesota because my life had become threatened, and it was no longer a comfortable place for me to live. Mm-hmm. And I never planned on living in Vail, and my car broke down there. And I decided to stay. And but I was, in 1994, I was in the library looking for a job on the internet, and the director of the library saw me, and she offered me a job right then and there.
Wow.
And then she taught me research. And so people would call the library up, and I would research anything they wanted to know. And I started working for a lot of doctors and lawyers. And then I started working for a retiring private investigator couple, Nell and Tom Hunt. They had this private investigation business in Avon, Colorado for 20 years, and I started working for them. And then I started joining professional organizations, National Public Record Retrievers Organization, and then, you know, I got all the databases. And then when Tom and Nell Hunt retired, I had purchased their business. And it sometimes it's weird how life works out that things kind of fall in place.
Yeah. Well, Russell Johnson, thank you for joining the CJ Evolution podcast, sir. Much success to you in your future endeavors. I'd like to bring you back on when you finish up your podcast, because it sounds very, very interesting. And thank you for sharing some of these, you know, tips out there for people to be aware of when it comes to, you know, things that might look like something on the surface, but underneath they're probably going to be something else.
That's true. Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it, and good luck to you as well.
All right, thank you, Russell. Take care, my
friend. All right, bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.